Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hit 'em with it.
Good morning, everybody.
There you go.
I was a little nervous. I wouldn't be able to do that. You can probably tell a little bit in my voice. I'm dealing with a little bit of the early winter sickness. A little worried there. Got through it, though. We're fine.
Hey,
we're good.
You know what? It's because I inspired you.
It is a little weird today. So it's a Wednesday. It's the middle of the week. But with Thanksgiving being tomorrow and the Sabres playing at 4 o'clock on Friday for Black Friday, this is it for me. This is the last part of the
week. Yeah, your week is done.
My week
tonight
is done. And I'm not saying that as like, oh no, my week is done. It's just, it's weird that, you know, we're going to get our first Bills injury report later this afternoon. And in reality, I'm like, yeah, this is it. Like, the next time I'm really going
to
be worried about Bills
say
Steelers is Sunday.
About it.
Yeah, it's very weird for me. It hit me this morning where I was like, I mean, we've had the Zero Dark 30 from the Bills for a little while here because they played on Thursday. They spoke on Friday, so we didn't hear them on Monday. And I'm like, wow, like this is how the week is going to end is really, quote-unquote, for us, kind of how it starts. It's a little weird. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on a Wednesday. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. We'll have Sal Capaccio in studio here in about 15 or so minutes. As I already mentioned, the Bills back to work today. They've made a few signings. Shaq Lawson to the practice squad. Brandon Cooks to the 53-man roster. So they're tinkering as best they can post the deadline. We'll see how much it really means. I think it's going to be kind of crucial now for the rest of the year. We'll have Paul Hamilton on at 11 as the Sabres are also playing Pittsburgh. They're also in Pittsburgh. They'll take them on tonight at 7. No Josh Norris tonight, but the lineup is starting to look much healthier, so that's pretty good. And, yeah, it's Thanksgiving week, and with that, it's both been feast week for college basketball, and now really kind of starting tomorrow and throughout the weekend, it's also rivalry week in college football.
Rivalry week in college football.
That should be a lot of fun. I can't wait. I'm going to be just overloaded with food and football.
I was just going to say, not just with my food, but I'm eating.
And the games are good. The games are really good tomorrow. I know people are sick of Baltimore and Kansas City being on the holidays, and I don't disagree with you. Kansas City and Baltimore around Christmas, which I thought was really unfair to the reporters and really the teams as well. But,
even the fans that hate them.
Right. Even the fans that hate them.
Can't escape them.
But tomorrow we get Green Bay Detroit to open it up. That
should be fantastic.
That has gotten good. I mean, for years Detroit was a garbage game, but they were on at 12:30 or what have you. And it was like, all right, that's the game on the background, whatever. Now it can't be. Now you got to have the kitchen TV locked in when you're making Thanksgiving dinner. Then at the 4 o'clock game, we've got Dallas hosting Kansas City. That should be really good. I'm excited for that game purely because Kansas City is not out of the woods yet. They're not even in a playoff spot. And they've shown they have a capacity to lose to teams in kind of stunning fashions. They lost to Jacksonville in a really bad way. They have not really been able to just start stringing wins together. Them and the Bills, mirror images, love it. And then to wrap it up, Joe Burrow's return, Baltimore, Lamar Jackson has not looked great much of this year, especially since his return to injury. There's a lot of meaning to that game, especially because if they lose that game, now all of a sudden the AFC North does get a little more interesting, gets a little more dicey going into Sunday.
And then, of course, college football, Michigan and Ohio State on Saturday, Texas A&M on Friday night. Ole Miss and Mississippi State might actually have huge implications for everything, depending on where Lane Kiffin goes, right, if he leaves, all that stuff. Just this is some of the best time of the year, because now we're also at a point, too, Derek, I think, in the NFL season where we can no longer just say, oh, it's too early to make, you know, grandiose assumptions or to have definitive statements. No, we're at towards the end of the year. We have less games to go than we had before. At the end of the season, you can see the light at the end of the tunnel, and that's where, you know, stuff like Dallas winning two in a row facing Kansas City is huge. Kansas City not being able to string some of these wins together. It all kind of culminates here, and it's perfect, I think, for a lot of us. We even have the Black Friday game, Philadelphia and Chicago, which Chicago is probably punching above their weight class. Philadelphia, though, does not look like last year's Philadelphia.
As a matter of fact, their offensive coordinator has been so frustrating for them. I've gotten to a point where I'm buying into the fact that he is more worried about angering people with the tush push than actually calling good plays.
You got there like a month into the season.
Yeah.
You were like, ooh, this might
this
be a problem.
This guy is a hack.
This might be a problem.
Like, this OC is a hack. Mm-hmm. And it turns out, yeah, that's exactly what's going on there. Yeah, I got there pretty quickly. I forgot how quickly I got
Kevin
there.
Kevin Petullo?
Yeah.
Right. Yep. I don't know why I was, in my head, I was like, Joe Petullo. I'm like, that's not right. It's
yeah,
Kevin.
No.
But
not everyone's named Joe.
No, not everyone's named Joe. A lot of people are named Joe, but not everybody. Kevin Petullo, offensive coordinator for the Philadelphia Eagles. But for the Bills, we're going to get our first injury report this week. We'll see what that's leaning towards. We did get some good news on Terrell Bernard to end last week. It looked like it maybe was a season-ending injury for him,
right,
his arm in the sling. It's week to week. We'll see with Brandon Cooks. I know I saw somebody posted his Instagram photo that he was in Buffalo. That move.
Yeah, that move.
Does that really do anything for you?
Yes and no. Because at least with one person that I've got high on the list of what's going wrong with this season, with one of them, you did your job. I've been kind of hinting that Brandon Bean and everything like that, the target that he's painted on his back this season with what he said this offseason. Hey, you know what? You grabbed a wide receiver. You grabbed a guy, you see, and he's doing it again. He signed Mecole Hardman. Like, yeah, I know the Jalen Waddle thing, sour taste in your mouth.
Yep.
And it should be. But I see a guy trying. Now I need to see the other person, Joe Brady. And Brandon Cooks is not the same Brandon Cooks. That much is clear. He wouldn't be released.
No.
However, if I don't get an impact out of him, I'm probably looking at the OC going, yeah, I told you, boundary receivers don't work with this guy.
Mm-hmm. And the more the year has gone on, the more it does look like that with Joe Brady, where he is having a real difficulty getting these receivers
and
going.
At that point, if I'm the GM, I'm throwing my hands up going, I'm trying over here.
Well, I for me, where I sit with this, like the Cooks thing, when it came down, it really didn't move me. Like, outside of like, okay, I've got to do stuff for my job, like, it really didn't move me. And I think in part because Cooks at his, you know, the current Brandon Cooks they got, 32 years old, being released by the New Orleans Saints, and ultimately it was a mutual agreement there. He is a guy who is probably a number three, number four receiver. And there are some teams out there that would love to have him. The Bills, I think, are doing it more in the desperation sense of, we have no man beaters. We are really struggling out here. We need to do something. And I guess for me, it still is really where I sit now is it's 2 years in a row where the Bills do very little at wide receiver and then try to fix it in season. And it doesn't really work.
And for me, though, it does go back to, hey, you're at least trying to do something, and I'm going to give you credit where it is due.
Right, you're doing what you're able to do.
The reason it doesn't move the needle for me is because of the offensive coordinator that he goes to. I don't see a boundary receiver succeeding on this team. I think Joshua Palmer's better with a different OC. It is a combination. Like, yeah, you're not really moved because of the fact that it's like a too little, too late sort of move by the general manager. And I'm over here saying, is he really going to have much of an impact because the offensive coordinator doesn't really utilize boundary receivers as well as he could?
I think also going to the DeMeco Ryans clip, which I know has done the run on the stations of him talking, and it's not like he's criticizing the Bills and it's damning for the offense in many aspects.
It's damning for the offense, but not in the way of like he's like trying to dunk on them.
No,
he
no.
said this is a unique system.
It's a unique system. It's different. My biggest problem is it comes back to the last 2 years, the feeling around how the Bills have built the offense has been, we are trying to take more off of Allen's plate. We are trying to get to the point where he doesn't have to do everything. And the last 2 years have maybe shown they have failed at that. And then hearing DeMeco Ryans basically say, yeah, they put a ton on their quarterback and their offensive line to do a lot, sort of points to they're failing at that. They're missing at that. And that is where, yes, they are 7-4, and I think they will be Pittsburgh to keep the season going. They have to.
I don't want to explore the feelings of losing to Pittsburgh.
Like, but, we'll get you know, there, but they kind of have to win this game to keep the slightly good feelings going. I know they have like a 92% chance of making the playoffs. That does change if they lose to Pittsburgh, though. The assumption is there they will win the games they should. Pittsburgh is one of those games, and if they don't, it changes the conversation. And so I don't want to sit there yet until it potentially happens. But even with them being 7-4, it's like this is the state of the AFC, I guess. It's just like no one feels very convincing. Doing the reverse AFC power rankings yesterday with Shope and the Bulldog, it becomes so apparent. There's a group of really bad teams. The Raiders, Tennessee, the Jets, Cleveland. Bad organizations. Nothing really is going right there. Cleveland at least has a defense, but nothing really is going right there. And then to be perfectly honest, everyone else is very middling. There's like 10 teams in the AFC that have a winning record or a 500 or better record. And I don't love any of them. Now, and we've said it kind of endlessly the last like month or so. That means the Bills could absolutely get hot in December and go on a run. I don't disagree with that point. But the problem is they are also playing into a conference that feels very middling. That feels like, no, you really can't. You know, yeah, you'd have to get lucky. You'd probably have to have the right matchups, even because you're going to be on the road most likely for the entire playoffs. So you're going to have to get the right matchups, which could be, you know, starting with Pittsburgh. You know, have Baltimore fall out of the playoffs entirely or go to the wild card, and you go to Pittsburgh to open up the playoffs, and then you go to someone like the Chargers or something like that. And it's just, it's not looking likely. I hope the Brandon Cooks thing changes stuff for them. I just don't see how it can. Because, like you mentioned, you have an OC problem already, that he has a difficulty using boundary receivers. And then, to my point, it's where we're at in the season, this is the best you could add, and it's not particularly, it's not a needle mover. He's under 200 yards this year, and he's 32. He hasn't had a really productive season in a number of years. I'd argue adding Brandon Cooks 4 years ago, would have been a really cool move. You could have been part of what, was he been traded like 4 times in his NFL career? It's insane. Yes.
But
it's like him and Eric Dickerson.
He's a beautiful use for the Immaculate Grid if you ever play that.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
And he's going to add another team to this.
But it would have been like that. This addition would have been so much cooler if, or not even just cooler, just it would have moved the needle more if it's 3 years ago. Now it just feels like you got to make up for a position that you're missing at. They've got to go back to the well again in season to try to fix it. And it's not going particularly well. I'm curious how to see it looks. I mean, he's a veteran. It's not like this is his first stop. He's been traded a lot. He's had to go to new places. So we'll see. It's just it's both a mixture of Bean has to go back to the well in season to fix the receivers again, and Brady has had a difficult time already integrating receivers. And with that, we go to the Western Hotline / to my right, Sal Capaccio in studio today. How are we doing?
You okay? You sound like you're a little under the weather.
Oh, right? Yeah, I'm battling.
Oh,
something.
He is.
I'm battling. I'm battling.
I'm starting to get a little bit of a sore throat now because I've been in the room.
I mean, you guys, your best ability is your availability.
I know.
You're here.
We're grinding it out. We're gritting.
That's right. That's right. No doubt about it. So credit to you for that. And you get maybe a few days rest here.
Oh, I got a, what is it going to be? It's going to be a 3-day weekend.
Okay.
Come in for Sunday for the Bills game.
Yeah.
Come in Monday. Host Tuesday, and I'm on vacation for a week. So.
Oh, all right. So you're here next week hosting.
Yeah,
right?
I was going to say this guy over here.
I'm just getting to the finish line. We're just battling to the finish line.
Sal, he's lamenting he's not going to have many leftovers because he's going on vacation.
Yeah, I want my tray of stuffed shells. Disney World, big family
trip.
You're
a Disney family.
Yeah, big family trip.
Smallest violin player.
I know.
Yeah,
I know.
Right? No, enjoy it for sure.
I'll eat your leftovers.
Yeah, I'll have. We have the Bills have practice today. I'll be down there today. Then Thanksgiving tomorrow, and then Friday Extra Point Show is a normal Friday with Sean McDermott. We'll get an injury update.
Yep.
You know, so we'll do that on Friday. Saturday, travel to Pittsburgh, and people will say, team still flies to Pittsburgh? I'm, yep, and Cleveland. Like, it's literally up and down. Bam, bam.
Yeah, like it's not 40-minute
flight. Maybe I don't
having
know.
Done that flight in college, it feels so pointless.
Yeah, it's but you know that'll happen, and then the game Sunday at 4:25. I was just going over and thinking all Sunday games from here on out. I mean, unless somebody gets flexed, but you know all Sunday games from here on out. So pretty routine schedule, and it's a massive game on Sunday for both teams.
And it feels a little weird. I mean, with Thanksgiving being on Thursday and the Bills having just played Thursday night.
That's right.
It like I mentioned because of the Sabres playing on Friday at 4, this is my last day this week.
Ah.
And it feels weird that, like, the Bills are just getting started. We've got news, and I'm like, and this is it. All right. Like, we're going to get the one injury update, and I'm like, okay, bye, everybody. Have fun. Have happy holidays. And it is such a massive game. And maybe to start the year, it would have felt less so. I mean, Rodgers didn't play particularly well with the Jets. The Steelers have always kind of been middling the last few years. Now it's become massive with where the Bills sit and even where Pittsburgh sits. I mean, we were listening to Will Graves yesterday for the AP with Chauvin Bulldog mentioned that Rodgers was on pace for a little while there to break break Ben Roethlisberger's season touchdown pass record with the Steelers. He has played well this year. It's gone a little haywire a little bit with his left wrist injury and a little bit before that. But this is kind of the Rodgers the Jets wanted, and instead the Steelers are getting them.
So last night we did It's Always Game Day in Buffalo, Matt Bove and I. And check it out wherever you podcast and Sal Sports YouTube. But we had our buddy Andrew Filippone on, 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh. And when we weren't talking about how his nipples are feeling after he got them pierced after having the bet that he made on Twitter that he would do that without numbing agent, that was an interesting conversation. when we did, he was talking about, and he mentioned this exactly what you just said, which is Rodgers was playing like an MVP player the first month of the season.
Yeah.
Right? And then after that, like, kind of what happened? And I went back and looked. Aaron Rodgers has the lowest depth of target, shortest depth of target in the league, like, by far of all qualifying quarterbacks. Everything they do is short.
Yep.
Everything they do is... And it's not that he has no arm left, right? Like, when Peyton Manning got older, like, you could see, like, the arm strength was going, right?
The physical limitations are showing, yes.
Right. That's not the case with Aaron Rodgers. So I don't really know exactly why, but his theory, and I'll give it to you in a second, but I went, here are the numbers. First month of the year, Rodgers, he was his TD interception ratio, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 to 3. Since then, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 to 4, and he has thrown for, 219 is his high watermark over the last four games. 249 he threw at Cincinnati one night. And the point I'm getting at is he's definitely been a bit of a different quarterback. His theory is that the Steelers want to play Tomlin ball, which is very risk averse all the time. And no matter what, they just don't want to put the ball in the other team's hands, and they'll rely on you making a mistake. And look, I think we can all say, oh, well, that's just not a recipe for winning football. That's fine. But the way the Bills have played this year, that might be the way the Steelers do beat them.
Yeah.
Because the Bills have given the ball to the other team, and they've taken some sacks this year, and now you have T.J. Watt and the other guy with the
Alex Highsmith.
Highsmith's coming back. That's right. Yep. And they're going to be coming after Josh, no doubt. And that's probably what you're going to see on Sunday.
Yeah. I also wonder too. I mean, he's 41 years old. He's not going to want to take hits. I think as well. I mean, you mentioned that the lowest depth of target. It's going to be a lot like Miami. It's going to be he's going to get the ball out quick. I'm almost already sitting here going, let's not expect he's 41. He's slow. The sack number should go up, right? Let's see more of the pass rush. This feels like it's going to be fast. They're going to get the ball out quick. They don't really have anybody, though, past DK Metcalf, I think, to really worry about. Freiermuth is good, but I always feel like Freiermuth is more potential than actual substance.
Yeah, Nick Herbig, by the way.
Yes, I was just going to mention that, yeah.
The other part about it is what's interesting, what Filippone said on the podcast, he said that the Steelers went out and they got these tight ends, but yet they don't use the middle of the field. It's kind of weird.
Oh, it's frustrating.
Like, it's like they have these tight ends to throw to. They don't use the middle of the field. And the Bills actually have been very good against tight ends this year. Overall, the Steelers have not. And that's where I think Dalton Kincaid comes in big in this game. If the Bills can get Dalton Kincaid back this week, it would be massive. The Steelers are giving up numbers of tight ends. And that's a matchup I think the Bills can exploit. On the other end, their receivers, like you said... Yeah, I mean, and DK's dealing with an ankle injury, by the way. He's limited practice. He'll play, I think. But yeah, it's more of a let's just get it out quickly. Let's keep everything short when the Steelers have the ball. For the Bills, I can be honest with you guys. I think listening to Sean McDermott on Friday talk about the hits that Josh Allen took, talking about how like that is not sustainable for success, what happened, knowing that Spencer Brown is out, it appears, I think we're going to see basically massive protection for Josh this week. Like, mm-hmm. I think they're going to do whatever they can to fortify him. And, you know, it's like my son would love to build forts when he was younger. He still kind of does. He loves it, right? Oh, let's build a fort, Dad, right? Like, we're building a fort for Josh.
I mean, to be fair, I passed 25, and I'm like, let's do that again.
I think that's probably a bit of what you're going to see this week.
And, you know, it's also something, too, and I remember watching Lions-Ravens, and when you see a quarterback of Lamar Jackson's caliber or Josh Allen's caliber take that many sacks, I think Lamar was 7, Allen's 8, it is so eye-opening mm-hmm. to, like, everything you're doing of, like, how is that happening? That has to be a mess-up on somebody's front. It could be Josh not setting protections. It could be Brady not helping him out. It could be the offensive line giving up a lot to Will Anderson, Daniel Hunter, what have you. But those, to me, when it's those caliber of quarterbacks, their ability, when that starts to happen, I think it really does become an eye-opening stat.
The thing that I think we're trying to debate and figure out here, and this goes back to the Brandon Cooks thing, which we bury the lead, haven't even talked about yet, which we can, but is this a Josh stat? Is it an offensive line stat? Is it a Joe Brady stat? Is it a wide receiver stat? Mm-hmm. It's all of it, I think.
It's probably all of it.
But man, I can't just think that Josh Allen suddenly, after having that historic year of not getting sacked with that offensive line last year and how mobile he is, that suddenly he just become this sack merchant quarterback that like, oh my God, I'm just going to take these sacks. I fall more on the side of, there are just not enough answers early in the down mm-hmm. for Josh. And then hero ball Josh takes a bit over and trying to do as much as he can to keep the play alive takes over. Look at the numbers. He has had more time to throw this year than really at any time in his career. But I think the time to throw, it's not because he's in the pocket. It's because he's buying time.
He's moving, yeah.
He's moving. He's trying to figure out something to do. Well, if you can have answers earlier in the down, within like the first three steps, four steps of when he takes his drop back, gets the ball, then that doesn't have to happen. And that's probably why they went out and signed Brandon Cooks, to try and help that regard.
And furthermore, on the protection thing, the fort, T.J. Watt has had the ability through years and years now to take over games, mm-hmm. legitimately just cause a forced fumble, mass chaos, everything of the sort. But then there is the rotation. Herbig, Highsmith coming back. These are players that can really wreck a game plan here. And yet I go back to Pittsburgh has the highest paid.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Defense, and yet their consistency issues mm-hmm. with being able to actually take over a game is a little surprising. This is a secondary that can be beat, even with the wide receiver core being as disappointing as it's been this season for them.
Yeah, they their numbers are not great on that side of the ball.
Yeah.
They were very leaky against the run early in the year. And what's crazy is they go against the Bengals and give up like 7 yards a carry. And then they face Jonathan Taylor and they give nothing.
Incredible.
They just shut him down. Well, what do you think they're going to try and do against the Bills? They're going to concentrate on James Cook. Mm-hmm. Just the way the same the thing they did against, you know, against Jonathan Taylor, basically. We're going to shut down the Bills' run game, and then we're going to force Josh Allen to beat us with them protecting him. And I think it's kind of like what Miami did. It's kind of like what Houston did, even Atlanta. And those are the games where they lost. And that's where I think the trepidation comes in for this game for the Bills' standpoint, which is if the Steelers can shut down, if they can concentrate on James Cook and shut him down, they're going to put the Bills back in the same situation they've been in with Josh being back there and, you know, teams teeing off on him. The Bills have to – I know it doesn't sound sexy, folks, but the Bills have to control this game on the ground. They have to because that will not allow that to happen. And the Steelers have been leaky on the ground at times this year, and I think there are opportunities to move the ball like that.
And then before we take our first time out here, and you're in studio, so we're going to keep you here for a little longer. It's also on the road, and the Bills have had a struggle this year. They are a different team, and it's been known. I mean, they are incredible in Orchard Park. Away from Orchard Park, though, it has been a bit of a struggle. They are a team that all of a sudden, you know, struggles to score
under
20 points. Yeah. What are they, 2-3, right?
Yep.
And these last few road games have really been a struggle for them, and Pittsburgh is a very rowdy place. And also, Acrisure Stadium, because of Pitt football and all that, it is also a bit of a struggle just to play there and the grass and all
the
that
turf
stuff.
Conditions.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a great point you brought up. You know what? I forgot.
Ew.
So, how about this?
Mm-hmm.
High school championships there this week. Pitt plays on Saturday at home this week.
Oh, my goodness. I forgot about the high school
championships. And then the Steelers.
Too. Yeah.
Oh, baby. And the Bills.
Sunday's gonna.
Yeah, I totally forgot.
Rough.
That's what, something I want to. I was.
If there's any sort of weather that's gonna come into Pittsburgh,
and there might be.
Do you remember the Dolphins Steelers game?
Yes, I do.
Monday Night Football?
Now, I will say,
I had this
conversation with Pony yesterday.
Like, the punt just like.
Yeah, just stop.
Stop.
Right? I know.
It just plops into the
ground. How about
this?
There's some definitely notable Ravens Steelers games like this, right, over the years.
Oh, yeah.
So what Andrew did say, though, was that they've been better. The turf has been better over the last few years like that.
Yeah.
It's held up better. Like, they've made some changes. But, yeah, when you're talking about that many games on that field and the weather that could be coming through, like, this could be a slop.
Yeah, I only thought about Miami-Pittsburgh. I hadn't even thought about the high school football championships.
That's exactly. Me neither.
Man,
I know, right?
God.
I know.
Yeah, you saw my reaction. Like, immediately my hands went to my face for comfort.
Well, I mean, who knows? Both teams have to play in it,
yeah.
Right? Both teams have to play in it.
Now I'm thinking, like, just also try not to get anyone hurt in this if the conditions are going to be bad.
Yeah.
Like, now I'm also looking at this of like, oh, dear God.
Especially the Bills' luck with injuries has just been a struggle.
This might be another circle of hell.
Yeah.
Well, let's hope not. But, I mean, like, this is going to be a game where you might have to just, again, make sure you don't make mistakes, control the ball on the ground, and we'll see. So we'll hear from Sean McDermott in a little over an hour from now. He'll give us a injury update on this week. But I do think that Kincaid is massive. If they can get him back, we'll see. Max Harrison was in concussion protocol as of Friday, so we don't know if he still is, if he's progressing, where that stands. I don't expect Spencer Brown or Terrell Bernard to be available in this one, but, you know, we'll see where that goes as well.
We'll take a quick time out here. We did mention Brandon Cooks. We haven't, though, actually been able to talk much on him. We'll do that. Thanksgiving schedule as well, and, of course, rivalry weekend in college football. But before we take our first time out.
Speaking of Thanksgiving, I mean, this is the holiday season, and we are kicking off Mission Give Where You Live to benefit Buffalo City Mission, powered by NYSEG. Starting December 1st through December 19th, you can donate brand-new sweatshirts, sweatpants, hats, gloves, scarves, and non-perishable food items to help keep our community warm and fed. Just stop by any Dash's Market location, drop off your donation to the Mission Give Where You Live donation bin, or if you're shopping online, you could still help out by giving through the Buffalo City Mission's Amazon wish list. It's sponsored by the Barnes Firm and Dash's Market, and you can get all the details at kiss985.com. We'll come back, talk more with Sal Capaccio here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show here on WGR.
Wants to play, change the pre- and post-snap picture.
On the fake, Prescott rolling, throwing across his body, it's Cooks. Beautiful throw, Brandon Cooks throws a man away and out across the 35, all the way up near the 40.
Newest Bills wide receiver, Brandon Cooks, officially signed yesterday, though not the only signing. The Bills did also officially announce that former Bills first-round pick Shaq Lawson is being signed to the practice squad. And for more on all of that, and of course, the rest of the things going on in the NFL with Thanksgiving, Black Friday, college football, Sal Capaccio still with us here on the Western Hotline.
And yes, Al, Brandon Cooks. I mean, that was a guy I think a lot of Bills fans were keying in on, especially once they had the mutual agreed release from New Orleans. There's a need at receiver. And Cooks has always been kind of that interesting guy. I know you've pointed this out on Twitter as well, and I mentioned it before you jumped in here. He's a guy that's moved around a lot and maybe kind of unfairly. Like, he's been good enough maybe to stick on a team, but he's been traded four times.
Been traded four times. It is the most ever in the NFL, tied with Hall of Fame running back Eric Dickerson. Pretty wild to have been traded four times, and you figure out, why is that? So that happened yesterday when they signed him. I said to my wife, this guy has been traded four times. It's crazy, most ever. And she said, was there a reason for that? Like, do people not want him on the team? I said, well, I guess that's part of the way you look at it, but then you have another team that wants him on the team. So I think the way I look at it is, Brandon Cooks has always been a nice player to have in your roster. Mm-hmm. He's never been a true number one, a guy that you can't live without, right? You can live without him, but you liked having him as a supplemental piece. And that's, I think, what he's going to at least hope be for the Bills, what the Bills hope that he can be, which is, you come in, he's a supplemental piece. Maybe the Bills need more than that, and I don't know if he can be more than that. At this point, you're throwing darts on things and throwing darts at the wall to try and see what you can hit, because there's only limited numbers of spaces on the dart board that you can hit, mm-hmm. though. Because the Bills can't go out there and trade for somebody anymore. There's no trade deadline. It's already passed. They're not going to go get a guy that's, you know, an elite receiver that can come in here and step right in who's under contract to another team. You can't do things like that. So what do? You either have to go internally on your own practice squad, you have to find somebody on somebody else's practice squad and offer them a contract, or you have to wait for somebody to either be released or is currently a free agent. That's what happened with Brandon Cooks here. He comes in. I do like the fact that he can – I still think he's fast. He's not what he was when he was younger probably, right? He's 32 years old. But if you look at some of the stuff that I know Eric did some stuff at Cover One and showed some of the routes that he's been running, these slants and these in cuts, and that's what I go back to earlier, guys, which is that's what the Bills need. They need guys that get open earlier, slants, in cuts. Be available for Josh earlier in the down, because that's where I think that – they're failing right now at wide receiver. It's not stretching the field. I know everybody wants that. It's be available for your quarterback earlier.
Right.
You go back to the road point. I'm glad I brought this up. I wanted to say this about the road point. You brought up being on the road. I think that's what's happening on the road, which is on the road, it's very loud. It might take an extra second or two to get the play in. You're in the huddle. You're trying to stay real close to the huddle to get the play. You break the huddle. By the time you do that, clock is turning down. Now Josh has to make checks at the line. Clock is going quick. It's very hard to do that. And when you have guys who can just win off the line, it makes it a lot easier when you're in those pressure critical moments to just say, just go and win, mm-hmm. and I'll throw you the ball. But if you don't have guys and win, it's tough to do that.
I'm glad that you say it like that, because when people think of the term man beater, they will think of like the vertical aspect of that. No, that is, if somebody's pressing you on the line like that, can you get off and right off the rip on a slant or on an in pattern there, you are open. And that is a big deal. That is something that is a valued concept here that the Bills have not been able to do, is really on those press man situations, get off of the defender and be readily available for Josh Allen right away, especially when teams have been more prone to blitzing him this year. They have not been as good at diagnosing or protecting it as well, and that has to do with both the quarterback and the offensive line. I do think that Allen and the protection calls, they need to be better. But if you have a man beater that can go ahead and right off the rip, they're available to you in case you're hot, that's a big deal.
Yeah, for sure. I think that that's something they have to work on. You know, you guys saw the viral clip from that people talk about with like DeMeco Ryans, right? And what he said about the Bills and why we've never seen that before. And I think people are, you know, dunking on Joe Brady's game plan. I don't I have a problem with the game plan going into the game and saying, hey, I'm going to trust Spencer Brown. I'm going to trust Deion Dawkins. The issue was when that was not going well, that there were not adjustments made.
Yeah.
That's the issue. I don't have a problem with the Bills going in. In fact, to be honest with you, hey, we're going to do something that the Texans haven't seen yet. We're going to keep these guys on an island.
Yeah.
They're not used to that. And we're going to be able to protect. The problem was they weren't able to do that.
They weren't able to do that.
And once that happened, that's when you need to make adjustments. That's the issue I had with Thursday. Wasn't the game plan going into the game. It was the adjustments not made during the game.
And especially, too, I mean, you brought this up last week when we were talking about the Texans. They're more of a defense that kind of just lines it up and gets it going. There isn't this, you know, Flores, I think, is very famous for this, where it's going to be very, you know, unique blitz patterns and stuff like that, where the Houston Texans are more just like, we're just going to line up guy for guy and go. It is just, for me, Sal, where I line up with the Brandon Cooks thing, of course, this would have been way cooler 3 years ago when he was younger and faster and what have you. For me, where I line up with this now is it's 2 years in a row where the Bills ultimately have not done enough at wide receiver. They have not done enough to supplement that room and to help Allen and the offense as a whole. It probably is a little bit of both with Brady as well, not being able to get the most out of Josh Palmer or Khalil Shakir and Dalton Kincaid and what have you. It's just, I'm not somebody that's been banging the drum for receiver in first round every single year, but for them to not even dip their toe in these last few years outside of Coleman, I think has really put them in such a bind now where it's a lot like the Kyrie Elam point where once Elam was a miss, they had to go get Max Harrison in the first round this year. They had to.
Yeah, and I think that the philosophy was, look, we're gonna surround Josh with good pass catchers, and he's going to elevate everybody. And there's nothing wrong with thinking that about your quarterback, how great he is. But I think now you see what they're missing in a true guy who can really kind of win right away, separate. And let's be honest, the fact that Keon Coleman is not developing
right
has really hurt this group overall. Mm-hmm. Somebody, I think Travis Yost actually pointed out that I guess he said TJ Hushmanzada said something about how the Bills don't have even a number two level talent wide receiver. I think they do. I think Khalil Shakir is.
Yeah.
The issue is they're not. It's hard to be number two if you have no number one.
Right, right. Because now all of a sudden your role changes.
That's correct.
People are going to key in on you. And also I think too, many people have been frustrated at Shakir's role. It's a lot of bubble screens. He's not necessarily the athlete to make that work. And even then, I mean, I think the Bills blocking on screens leaves a lot to be desired. And yeah, like it forces you into a worse role. That's where Amari Cooper worked last year. The numbers didn't look great, but enough teams were like, ugh. He can kill us potentially.
That's right.
And it opened up the Bills' offense much more in the second half. You might have that with Cooks just because of the volume of guys. I do wonder too, Sound. You bring up Keon Coleman. I'm glad you did because I didn't want to forget this. I don't think it'll mean anything, but because he was a healthy scratch for 2 weeks in a row, I think people are going to have the discussion of, was this going to be 3 weeks now with Pittsburgh?
Oh, sure. We don't know that. Spot?
And we have no idea. And I don't think they play the same roles, but maybe.
We're going to talk with Sean McDermott in an hour, and he's going to be asked about Keon.
Yeah, like this is going to be our first win.
So I can guess what his answer is going to be right now. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, 100%, yeah.
What his answer is going to be, we'll see how the week goes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's what his answer is going to be. So we don't know. Because, guys, look at the byproduct of the Cooks signing is actually what's even more fascinating to me. I don't know. I mean, who knows if he's going to really help? It would be amazing if he just shows up and, oh, my God, this is really, right? It could be nothing. It could be a nothing burger. That's whatever. I have no idea. What I'm fascinated by is what does this roster look like? You have seven wide receivers on the active roster right now, and you have Gabe Davis, who's on practice squad.
And we're getting close to he has going to either sign to the 53 or be done.
So even if you elevate him one more time, that's eight. Khalil Shakir, Keon Coleman, Joshua Palmer, Curtis Samuel, Elijah Moore, Tyrell Shavers, Brandon Cooks, plus Gabe Davis, plus Mecole Hardman, who's on IR, three more games. I think this is fascinating what is happening at this the roster part of the wide receiver.
Yeah,
I'm glad you mentioned that too, because now that you bring up the fact that they still have so many receivers rostered and Gabe Davis is on that practice squad, that's eight. That tells me that I don't know. We're obviously going to get our update on this, but I have a suspicion that Curtis Samuel is still dealing with something that could be a little bit longer term.
Maybe. Who knows? I mean, Sean McDermott said he's improving, but Derek, even if that's the case, if he goes on IR, it's one thing. Then you save a roster spot. If not, you're just making him inactive, and you still have these many guys. Because, guys, if they want to activate Tylon Grable this week, then someone's got to go, too. I mean, they have 53 right now. He's counting. And the only way you can activate 48 on game day is to have eight offensive linemen active. So your choice is either you activate Chase Lunt, you make him inactive, he's on the roster, which they have not done and do not want to do, I don't think.
Mm-hmm.
Or you put Tylon Grable on the team. And if you do that, someone's got to be released off the roster or put on IR.
Someone goes. And then real quick before we get to the Thanksgiving and Black Friday slate of games, Shaq Lawson, signed to the practice squad.
I mean, at this point, I think it's more about T.J. Sanders playing out of position.
Yeah.
You have to have another guy who can come in there who play defensive end so you can move T.J. Sanders inside. That's what Sean McDermott said on Friday. Eventually, they'd like to get him moved back inside. I get it. I understand. Shaq Lawson, okay, here we go, coming back with guys who've left and come back, and we all know why, and I'm not telling you it's going to work or this is what they should do, but we all know why that is. It's because if you need somebody in week 13, you want to have a guy that understands your terminology and comes in and can fit into the system. But who knows? I don't even know if he'll play. Maybe he gets elevated, maybe he doesn't. He's on the practice squad right now, but that's why they would do it. And I am interested in Morgan Fox still.
I will say.
Yes, Morgan Fox is still on the practice squad.
The whole thing
squad.
There with him was he might be the Michael Hoyt replacement.
I don't want to say it like that, but he was Michael Hoyt in L.A. before Michael Hoyt.
Yeah, right.
That's right.
And also, though, with Lawson, I do wonder if they want to start prioritizing using Lawson on run dominant downs, because that is one of the things that he'd always been consistent with throughout his career, and trying to maybe allow Greg Rousseau to have more opportunities to be the pass rusher type again, try to get more aggressive.
And Joey Bosa.
Give Bosa a little couple of snaps off on the run situations. It is something where, yeah, it's a little disappointing what the pass rush has been doing numbers-wise in terms of finishing plays. Pressure rate is one thing, but sacks-wise, Sal, I pointed this out on Monday, Ed Oliver's second on this team.
Yeah.
And it's not good enough when I look at a player like a Greg Rousseau, who has this contract extension. Maybe Lawson will allow for a little bit more of that run mentality to be, okay, maybe we can get somewhere ahead of the sticks if we're able to stop a couple runs and allow Rousseau to try to get back to pass rushing.
Yeah, so I was just doing this during the break. I was looking at the difference between the Steelers and the Bills and their sack numbers per player. Bosa, it goes, Bosa with four. Then Rousseau, Daquan Jones, and Ed Oliver each have three. Okay? Take a look at the Pittsburgh Steelers and who their top guys are. Hold on one second. So 4-3-3-3 for the Bills.
I know TJ
Watt at seven. Herbig at 6.5. Highsmith at 5.5. Benton at 4.5.
Oh, man.
Highsmith at 5.5 in seven games.
Yeah.
So they have four guys that have more sacks than the top Bills guy.
I mean, this has been a problem for the Bills for the last few years of just, you know, the pressure rates a lot of time are really good and the hurry rates are good. They just cannot seemingly finish the plays, get the quarterback on the ground. We'll see if that can change throughout the year and maybe even going into next year as well. Sal, though, before we let you go, tomorrow, three games. We got a game on Friday as well. Are you doing anything big for the holidays? You're going to just lock
in
for football?
We are hosting my mother-in-law's flying up from Florida tonight. It's going to be windy, so you know we're just like, you know, it's going to be a bit of a rough flight maybe, but you know, we're excited that she's coming in and we're hosting my mom, my stepdad, my mother-in-law, and you know, we have Bernie now, our dog, our new Great Pyrenees we got a few weeks ago, so it'll be her chance to hang out with him. So yeah, we'll have that, and then I like the fact that as the day goes on, the games get a little bit more intriguing from a Bills standpoint,
yes, 100%.
Right? Because you can start off the day and just kind of relax and make dinner. Watch. Hey, Lions-Packers, good game.
I know.
It's a big game.
I'm so happy the Lions are good now because now Thanksgiving, you're like, oh,
but Bills fans
game.
Can be stress-free about that one.
Yeah.
Like, you don't care, right?
You start your stress-free.
Then
your
you go to Kansas City, Dallas. You're sitting around. You're a little full. Or maybe you're finishing up. You're like, all right, I'm going to sit back and watch this game, right?
Right.
Then everything's done, right? Maybe grab a glass of wine at night. And say, you know what? I'm dialed in now on Bengals-Ravens. And then the Bengals have 10 days before they play the Bills.
Yep. And it looks like we're going to get Burrow.
Oh, I think so, yeah. Unless something were to happen, you know, tomorrow with Burrow, I would think that he would play in Buffalo 10 days later.
And then even Friday, the Black Friday game.
Black Friday game,
Eagles-Bears. I think the Bears are punching above their weight.
They are.
But the Eagles also are...
The Bears are taking advantage of a bad schedule, too.
Right, absolutely. And then the Eagles are just like an off-year Eagles team where they're talented. You know they are. They're just kind of...
Do you think the Cowboys have a shot to upset?
Absolutely.
The Chiefs?
Absolutely.
The Dallas Cowboys are...
I'm so excited. I fully think they
really?
Will. I think they will.
I can't get there on them. And you're not wrong to say it.
They're Jekyll and Hyde.
Yeah, but you're not wrong to say it like they do, but I keep thinking like how... I'm like, Dallas is terrible. Like, and I have this in my head that they're terrible.
But also,
and the Chiefs are just going to just blow them out.
They're
Jekyll
and Hyde by drive.
Yeah, they are. It's awesome. They're so much fun to watch.
That's the thing.
They're very high variance.
They're so much fun to watch. That's you got Lamb leading
event,
the league.
As they call it, right?
High event.
Yes.
Lamb leads the league in drops with 8. And then you got George Pickens the last 2 weeks. They're like, guys, I'm kind of a number one receiver over here. It's Dallas, if I didn't hate the Cowboys, they're a blast to watch every week.
Right.
And then, you know, you can have a nightcap with that game and watch A&M in Texas as Zach will be stressing out. Hoping the season doesn't end. Sal, thanks so much, man, for coming in. And
you got it,
we'll talk again soon. Happy holidays.
Yeah, Sean McDermott at a little before noon. Practice at 12:30 today.
All right.
Sal Camacho here on the Wester Hotline. He's going to get out of here coming up in just over 10 minutes. Paul Hamilton, a little on the Sabres. They're also taking on Pittsburgh. Also in Pittsburgh tonight, though, at 7. We'll get a word in with him as well coming up at 11 o'clock. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. And this is WGR.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score.
Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life, all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.